Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we're welcoming back to The Local Take Pamela Perkins Karn, formerly of the Interfaith Children's Movement. And she's joining us today to talk about a new organization called Ending Mass Incarceration. And welcome back to the show, Pamela Perkins Karn.
Thank you very much, Kiplin Primus. It's always good to be with you.
Share with our listeners, what is Ending Mass Incarceration? How did this organization come about, and what is the focus?
Well, End Mass Incarceration Georgia Network is actually about 6 or 7 years old. We had three conveners at the time, and unfortunately, one of our conveners is no longer with us, James Costin Jr. Of the Costin Institute. Also, Women in Transition, Anika Jones, is the representative from that organization, and I was the other representative. And so we got together and determined that we really do need a grassroots movement that includes everyone, it's not a specific group of folks, but everyone, faith community, grassroots communities, community leaders, everyone to come together and really tackle this issue of mass incarceration. And not just at kind of that one idea approach, but really bringing everyone together to develop new ideas, to come together and work on advocacy, to work on services, whatever it is that you do, bring that to the network so that we can serve together and really address this from cradle to prison pipeline, if you will, because we also have folks from National Black Child Development Institute. So we want to look at it from the beginning to the end. How do we affect positive change? How do we create restorative justice-minded people in our community? How do we advocate at that policy level on behalf of those who have been affected by crime and incarceration? So this is one of those big umbrella organizations, if you will, or networks where everyone's welcome, everyone's invited to be a part of the solution.
I want to share with you a statistic that I heard earlier about Georgia. Georgia has over 560,000 people in the prison system. We actually lead the world in imprisonment per capita per person. Can you share how can, you know, EMI, working as this umbrella organization, try to impact that number? And why do we want to be known as the world's leader in imprisoning people?
Well, to answer that first question, and I know when people hear that, it has to be shocking, the stats on Georgia. It has to shock you. And hopefully it shocks you into action. And one of the ways that you can take action is to be a part of End Mass Incarceration Georgia Network. And how can we affect that change? By raising the awareness, just as you said, just as you just did, raising the awareness and the consciousness of the everyday person. You know, most people are so busy, you know, unless they have some type of involvement with the system, with the justice system, they don't tend to think about it. But in Georgia, I would hazard to say that half of Georgians know somebody in the system. You know, you can't have 500,000 people in the justice system and not it touch almost, you know, at least half the families in the state. And the reason I say that is because it's not just what we think of as criminal justice or crimes. It's not, you know, we think of something heinous. We think of murder. We think of, you know, someone shot someone. But in Georgia, you really don't have to, you know, go to that level. You don't have to commit a crime of that level to be engaged in the system, to be system involved. And so one of the ways that we are trying to affect this change is to raise the consciousness, raise the awareness of the everyday person to understand what type of impact this has on not just the people you hear about, but the people you know. We know that within certain communities, we have, you know, more than half of the people who are system involved. We look at those zip codes that they call million-dollar zip codes, you know, or million-dollar neighborhoods, and that's where they're spending more than $1 million on incarcerating people in that particular geographical area. These are areas that are underserved, that are low income, that are living in poverty, that are undereducated, that are miseducated, and they are a feeder. They're the feeder communities into the criminal and juvenile justice system. And so that's how we first have to raise awareness. We first have to prick the consciousness of people in order for them to take action. So the more we can share, the more we can give knowledge, then we believe that the greater the response will be. The more people understand that they have a voice to speak up for, to speak out against, to speak, you know, in favor of, you know, restorative justice, to speak out against mass incarceration, the more they realize they do have the power to do so, then the better results we will get from our elected officials. We have to help people understand that voting is critical. The person you vote for is the person who represents your values and your family's values. And so the more we can get people to understand the power of that vote, the better results we'll have as well.
Now,
and the more we can impact mass incarceration in Georgia. But it has to be shocking. People have to be shocked into awareness.
Pamela, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned million-dollar zip codes. I want to just delve into that just a little bit, because I think what you're saying is there's some zip codes where it's costing $1 million to lock people up.
Right. It's where we spend more than $1 million or more in locking people up. Exactly. And think about what we could do, what the good we can do with that type of funding, as opposed to locking up, you know, why wouldn't we take that funding and you know, put it towards restorative justice, put it towards early education, put it towards college education, put it towards, you know, ending the school-to-prison pipeline by creating opportunities for youth to be engaged in the school rather than being thought of as a nuisance to the school. There are so many other positive things we can do to yield better results for communities rather than targeting money towards locking people up.
This is insane. We're spending $1 million in a zip code to lock up young people and old people rather than providing them with the services that they need so that they don't get locked up. So we can spend that $1 million another way, right?
Absolutely. We could spend it on the front end of wellness, you know, spend it on health care, spending on making sure that people have health care. There's so many, spend it on creating recreation programs for children, after school programs, which are critical to children having healthy lives. Spend it on, you know, early childhood care. You know, you could have a care center. There's just the
there are a million things you could do with $1 million. I mean,
right. There are a million good things, right? A million good things that we could be doing, as opposed to this, you know, back end where we always find ourselves. This back end, and I'm putting this in quotation marks, solution of lock 'em up.
This is insane. And you also mentioned voting. Just yes. One more time. Why is voting so important, and why can't we get our communities to vote?
Well, voting, people, and I know I sound like a broken record, because everyone knows that, you know, our people have died, bled, you know, to get the right to vote, to secure the right to vote, to secure that right, not just to get it, but to secure it. And if we are not careful, we will lose it, because if this is a right that we have to fight for, and we have to continue to fight for it. And the only way that people are going to understand how important it is is to actually be engaged in the process, be civically engaged, to have information provided to children, not just to adults, but to children. We have to grow up our children in civic participation. They have to know what's important before they graduate high school, before they graduate, they have that eighth grade graduation. They need to know how important voting is. We need to get it back into our schools. We need to make sure that our children have a productive civics education, not just one where you learn something about Georgia and I pass the test and I go on, but really what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America and how important it is that you recognize that citizenship and recognize the power of it. And that's only going to happen if we, the people, demand it. If we don't show up at our school board meetings, if we don't know who the teachers are, we have no idea who's teaching the children and what they teach them, if we're just practically disengaged or unengaged from the education system, they will not receive what we know they should. And so we need to be just as vocal and just as vigilant as those who have agendas about education, of children. We need to be just as vigilant and just as vocal. Unfortunately, we're not. And so, therefore, we do our children a disservice and our communities a disservice by not being so.
And the ironic thing is, that's our money. The $1 million is our money that we're giving the government to lock up people in certain zip codes.
Absolutely.
And quite frankly, I don't want to do that.
Amen.
This is insanity.
Yeah. And it's absolutely our money, and we should be directing that funding, not allowing it to be directed for us in the worst way.
Well, Pam, I want to thank you again. When we first started talking about this, I think it was 1 in 13 adults in our state were some kind of way in the criminal justice system. And now learning that our state has locked up over 500,000 residents and citizens, and we not only lead the nation, but we lead the world in imprisonment. This isn't sustainable. We've got to make some kind of change. And I hope our community leaders and activists and advocates are listening and understand that this is not sustainable. We've got to make a change. And as you said, it's got to start in those communities that are being marginalized and exploited to fund this prison pipeline. This is crazy.
Right. Absolutely. We have to educate. We have to inform. We have to mobilize. We have to stay engaged. And we have to stay connected. We can't just say, that's not my neighborhood, or I don't live there. I may go to church there, but I don't live there. That's why we're in the condition. That's one of the reasons we're in the condition we are. We're disconnected. We're unengaged. And so we have to get back together. We have to. And that's what EMI, is about. It's about bringing people together, bringing, communities together so that we can work together. And we can give voice together. We're stronger, together. Our voice is stronger together. So that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping that we can build this network and keep it growing so that there's a place for everyone. And hopefully the solutions will come out of that togetherness and that being on one accord.
So EMI is hosting an expo on May 20th. At the Atlanta Community Food Bank. Can you share with our listeners who should participate in this event and why?
Absolutely, and thank you for this opportunity to give a little bit of heads up on our expo. And this is our first one, the Mass Incarceration Georgia Network 2019 Expo. It's open to everyone. It really is open to everyone. We will have service providers, community organizations, and other community agencies there to support incarcerated children, youth, and adults and families who are impacted by the juvenile criminal justice systems. We will have Good Samaritan has agreed to be one of our presenters. Also, we have youth empowerment through learning, leading, and serving Yales that will be there as well as one of our presenters. We'll have presenters in between all of the different agencies who will have tables there with information. We're looking forward to having, you know, a number of our local community agencies there. We'll have Gwinnett Stopp, who's, you know, key on school to prison pipeline, women in transition. We'll also have others who will be coming to talk about expungement as well. And Mr. Charlton Vivens will be there. So if you have expungement issues, would like to know more about expungement process, please come. We'll have someone, a representative from the Center for Black Women's Wellness. We know that our wellness is not by just physical alone, but it's whole wellness. How do we ensure that communities are healthy, you know, healthy living? That has an impact. That, if, believe it or not, that has an impact on whether or not a community has a high rate of incarceration, how well the people are in that community. So we're looking forward to really having a wonderful, wonderful time. And we hope that faith communities will send representatives. We hope that our justice system will send people. Like, for example, if they're under, you know, parole or probation, that they will send folks who can then meet with others who will help them to transition hopefully in a more positive way. Also, the Atlanta Community Food Bank will be providing a table where they will help to enroll people in benefits that they may or may not know that they have. But come out, come, you know, on May 20th, 12 to 3:30. We're looking forward to having, you know, everyone there, people who want to get more information, people who need the services, and people who are engaged in this work. So we're looking for a great time.
And how can people participate, and how can the organizations in the community, if they want to become part of the network, how do they do that?
We have meetings every fourth Monday, actually, at the food bank, at the Atlanta Community Food Bank at 732 Joseph E. Lowry Boulevard Northwest, Atlanta. And the meetings begin at 12:30, and they're from 12:30 to 2:30. That's the fourth Monday. This third Monday, May 20th, we'll have the expo. But please come out to the expo and sign up and say you want to be a part of. You can also email us at emigaNetwork@gmail.com. emigaNetwork@gmail.com. Let us know you want to be a part of it. We'd love to talk to you, send you some information. We also have our website as well, where you can contact us at emigaNetwork.org. So there are a number of ways. Also, connect with us on Facebook. Let us know you're out there and you'd like to be part of this work. You know, join together in the work. If you're already doing the work, how do we work together? You know, follow us on Facebook, give us a shout out, and let us shout back at you. but there are so many ways. You know, just reach out, and we'll certainly reach back. Well, but the expo, we'd certainly want you to come out to that.
Well, Pamela, I want to thank you so much for all of the work that you're doing to bring awareness to this. I am always in awe of what you've accomplished, and I just want to thank you so much for continuing the work and sharing this information with our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Kiplin, and as always, thank you for the voice that you give to so many. Thank you for your work.